Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. We saw in verses 8 to 19 that the call was a father to a son, and remembering the counsel of one's mother. But now we have a pause, and we have this sermon that is actually spoken to us from a very surprising source. The language in the original picks up on the feminine word and makes wisdom a woman who is calling. And there is a declaration to those who are foolish in this sermon. It extends from verse 20 to verse 27. And then there's some statements made to the children of the covenant at the end, verses 28 to 33. So it's important for us to listen as those who are receiving this call, who are being called by wisdom in this surprising way in the Word of God. It is an invitation for us to consider what it is that God is saying that he would say in such a way. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and he refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, you know that Proverbs is a wisdom book, right? And we know sometimes what happens with books that we thought we should read. They go onto a shelf or they get lost under a bed and they gather dust and we never get around to them. And sometimes we think God's wisdom is like that. Is wisdom like this book that you just never cracked open? Or is wisdom more dynamic than that? Is it possible that wisdom is more like a mother standing on the shore and calling to her children to avoid the riptide that she can see? And she knows exactly where it is, and she's calling to them not to venture into that riptide. Well, that's the way that the Word of God presents wisdom to us in this passage. It's the wisdom of a woman. Personified as a woman, wisdom calls out. Wisdom is calling, uttering her voice, not just in a private video that you can only access if you have the link, but in the streets, like a street preacher. Wisdom is saying, listen. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. She's right in the middle of the marketplace. She's right in the middle of the roads. Yesterday, this man came down our street, and he was ringing a cowbell. And he's very excited that Joe Biden was declared by the Associated Press to have won. And he wanted everybody to come outside and celebrate. He was ringing the cowbell. Now, you might have one or the other opinion about that. But the point is that this is the way that wisdom comes to you. It's not just simply that God waits around and says, well, when you get around to it, there's this really good book that I want you to look at, the book of Proverbs. I want you to look at it, and I want you to study it, reflect on it, and you never get around to it. Wisdom isn't going to wait around for you in that way. Wisdom comes to you and actually pleads with you. That's what this passage is telling us. Wisdom is pleading, opening her mouth, filling her lungs, and declaring that the simple need to understand. There's a riptide. Pay attention to what I'm saying. That's what this woman is saying. And we know that this is a very odd way for the Word of God to put it, because we know that Jesus is the wisdom of God. We know that by the time we get to the New Testament, that everything will come into clarity, that we will hear that in the beginning was the Word. But the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We know that Jesus Christ is the one who embodied God's wisdom, who came to plead with sinners, who came to give His life for sinners, who came to present to people a wisdom that they could not obtain for themselves. But back at the time that the book of Proverbs is written, it's a book of poetry. It's poetry that's designed to make us think. And so the fact that the language is feminine in Hebrew allows for this image. But you see, it's a broader image than simply this one chapter. It's actually given to us again and again in the book of Proverbs, because Lady Wisdom, you see, is going to contrast with the woman who is folly, the woman who is foolish. There's going to be a foolish woman and a wise woman, and you're being told to listen to the wise one. It's there in chapter 3 and verses 14 and following, speaking of the preciousness of wisdom, length of days in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. And there's a whole declaration in chapter 8 from wisdom that is given, very similar to this chapter. And then by the time we get to chapter 9, we find that wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is inviting you to a banquet of wisdom. But what is it that we need to hear? What is it that we need to pay attention to? Why is this urgent call being given from Lady Wisdom? Why is she crying out in the marketplaces? Why is she preaching in this way? Why is wisdom a reflection of the words of Jesus Christ, given in a different form at a different time to us? Why even are we surprised in the way that wisdom is given to us in these words? It's because of the call that's given in verse 22. This sermon that's preached, this declaration that's given, this in-your-face declaration is addressed to those who are foolish. They're called in verse 22, simple ones. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. There are three groups here: simple ones, those who scorn, and those who are called fools. But it's really the simple ones who actually have the most opportunity to turn, the most opportunity to pay attention, because they haven't proceeded along the path to scorning, the path that's laid out for us at the beginning of the Psalter, that progression that you see. Remember how the Psalter begins, right? In Psalm 1. Listen to what Psalm 1 says about how we can progress in our lack of wisdom along the path. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Walking along, someone catches your ear, you stand around with them, finally you're sitting down with them and mocking them. Scorning. Scorning not only other people, but God. And that's the path of the scornful. And that's why the appeal is given to those who are yet at an opportunity that where they might hear it. And the surprising thing about the Word of God is that the Word of God says that wisdom actually addresses the gullible, the naive, the people who are simple, who need to hear and pay attention. And it's that group that's being addressed. We know this because of how many times the word you or ye is used in verses 22 to 27 after this first verse. This is the group that the one in wisdom really wants to reach. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And then she says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. And then she says, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. If you respond to me, if you turn to me, you will receive my spirit and my words. How wonderfully true. In the history of redemption, as we know that the Lord Jesus Christ poured out his spirit. Here it's in the image of Lady Wisdom. We're still being told to listen through this poetic image, this mysterious woman of wisdom who says, I will pour out my spirit. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you wisdom. Verse 24, I have called thee, ye refused. Talking about the simple ones. Ye have set not my counsel, she says. I will mock them when your fear cometh. And then finally in verse 27, your fear and your destruction, distress and anguish come upon you. You're gullible. You don't see what's coming. You don't see the riptide. You're out there playing in the water. There's a riptide. It's going to carry you out to sea. Pay attention. You've seen the signs. People have reminded you. Now, I'm crying out to you. Watch out. Watch out for fear and destruction. And we don't think that wisdom comes to us like this. At least not when we're simple. When we're simple and when we're naive, we think, well, you know, when I'm 40 years old, I'm going to open God's wisdom. I'm going to pay attention. And I'm going to just spend some time meditating on it. But right now, you know, I have time. I have time. See, that's the thing that you don't have. That's the thing that you don't have when you're right there close to the riptide. That's the thing that you don't have when you're about to be carried away by your own sinfulness into what is called calamity. Fear coming as a wind, as the very judgment of God. See, Lady Wisdom is calling to us in many ways as a prefiguring of something that is most clearly represented. We know that God, the Son, second person of the Trinity, is male. But we also know that he is wisdom. We also know that God is rich in the way that he presents wisdom to us. He presents wisdom to us in creation. He presents wisdom to us in starfish. He presents wisdom to us in the way our white blood cells work. The way that some people are immune to a virus that no one can, you know, quite nail down yet. People are immune to it in some way. God created wisdom, multifaceted wisdom. And at this point, Lady Wisdom is calling. Lady Wisdom is saying, listen. Listen, because you're gullible. You're naive. You don't know how the world works. You don't know how your own hearts work. In a lot of Proverbs, it's a father telling you this. But there's also this call of Lady Wisdom. What is she calling you to do? Well, if you're out there where the riptide is, you're being called to get away from the riptide. You're being called to not put yourself in a situation where you're going to be carried along and you won't be able to have enough strength to continue swimming because it will happen so fast. Turn. Turn around. That's what verse 23 says. Turn. Turn you at my reproof. Do not let this happen. It's the language of turning around that we saw in the book of Hosea. As Hosea kept saying, turn around. As the Holy Spirit said through Hosea, turn around, northern kingdom. Turn around, because I'm reproving you. Because it's designed to correct you, to instruct you in righteousness, and to cause you to turn around, to go in the other direction. And there's quite a promise attached to it. Wisdom says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. You'll be given wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Now you can say, well, okay, poetry, I mean, the theology's all off. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about Jesus Christ, given the spirit and given the spirit to give you, the spirit that guided him. But this is poetry, and it's designed to get your attention. And so you're surprised by this. I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom from God, given by the Spirit of wisdom for self. We know that God's people are given the Spirit, but also wisdom says, I will make known my words unto you. You see, the Word of God arrests us with this image. In the Chronicles of Narnia, it's animal talking. It gets people's attention. In the garden, there's a serpent. There's sometimes when we're surprised by something that happens, and it gets our attention. We pay attention to it. And wisdom is saying, you need to pay attention to me. So God cloaks wisdom as a woman and says, I will give you knowledge. Pay attention to me. Just like Lady Folly says, I will give you knowledge. I will give you knowledge. You'll know stuff that you've never known before. Lady Wisdom says, listen to me. Listen to me, because Lady Folly's calling. Listen to me. Pay attention. I will pour out my spirit unto you. But the call, you see, is a call pleading that is not heeded. Verse 24, there's this promise given, but the call has been refused. And we've seen this before. We should have known, actually, from the words how long that were given to us in verse 22. But this was language that reminded us of the prophets, reminded us of the prophets in the scriptures who call upon Israel in these words, how long will you resist? How long? It's speaking of a time when the simple ones, the gullible ones, did not see the danger, did not listen to wisdom's pleading call, and refused. Not because they didn't, they did not actually hear at all, but because they were paying attention to a different voice. Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. The insistent call is falling on deaf ears. You have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You're not paying attention to my warning to repent. And so there is the beginnings of an accusation and the grounds for the sentence. This is actually the transition point. There's an invitation given, it's refused. There's the declaration of the fact that it's been refused, that nobody regards. And then it's built up in the statement. This is the way that this simple one has denied all of the benefits of wisdom that they've been given. You set it not all my counsel, wisdom says, and would none of my reproof. It's like a woman explaining to a judge that she tried to help her son. He tried to give her some counsel. He kept breaking the law. And she kept saying, it's not going to end well. There's a better path for you. And she's explaining to the judge. But this is God speaking. And God is actually speaking through Lady Wisdom. And he's speaking in a way that shows you something about God. When he's resisted, there will come a time when he will change from pleading to laughing. From desiring to bring about the turning of people to laughing at their calamity. We see it in Psalm 2, don't we? We're about to sing Psalm 2. He laughs at those who stand against him, who try to amass themselves against him. He laughs at them because they don't have the power to resist him. And when the call is given and given and given, the invitation is given, the pleading is given, turn, you will receive wisdom, you'll receive my spirit, you'll receive my counsel. Turn. Do not go before the judge and face your sentence. There's a transition point. There's a transition point, and this is God's response. At the end of the day, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, is God being unmerciful there? Is he being callous? Is he being hard-hearted? That's hard to say when God actually portrays himself as a woman calling out in the marketplace to pay attention. Receive my spirit. Listen to my counsel. This is not a time to be naive. This is not a time to not look ahead and see the danger coming. There's a riptide. Pay attention. Or the woman telling her son before he goes before the judge, you're going to receive a massive sentence. This is going to change the course of your life. Pay attention. You see, this is much bigger. This is God speaking about a day of calamity. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. It's a storm. It's a storm that keeps building. I had an opportunity to pay attention. I had an opportunity to turn around. I could have listened. I heard the voice telling me there was a riptide. But now I'm in it. And I can't get out. And it's pulling me away. Everything's like a storm around me. Why didn't I listen to those invitations? Why didn't I listen to the pleading? And God is laughing. Because he gave it all to us, all of the opportunities. You see, there is a time when we reach a point of no return. And so we need to listen. By the time we get to verse 33, there is the comfort of the gospel. The knowledge that there is a place where you will be safe. A place where you need not fear evil. But you see, we need to hear the threat in order to understand the comfort. We need to hear that we are on the verge of destruction, especially when we're naive, especially when we're gullible, especially when we're tempted to listen to voices that show us an unwise path. There will come a day when your fear comes as desolation. Your destruction comes as a whirlwind, verse 27, and distress and anguish come upon you. It could have been avoided. Jesus says something similar in Matthew 7 when he speaks in the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll get to as we look at Matthew in the evenings. But he says that there are false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. He says that there is a straight gate and there is a wide gate. He says that there is a narrow way and there is a broad way. And he says, not everyone that saith unto me, this is Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? These are people who think they're on the right path. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The important thing is that we heed this call, that we listen to what the book of Proverbs is telling us. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It's the Lord Jesus Christ calling upon us to see the danger that's ahead. And so there are these words that are given to us. After the sentence, after the laughter of God, after the storm, there's a statement given. You see, this is how it all happens. And this is now given to the children of the covenant. This is given to those who have the promise of God placed upon them. Grew up in a Christian home. Had the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit placed upon you in baptism. You're hearing this. This is how it happens. This is how you get to the point where God is laughing at your calamity and where fear piles up. He switches. No longer is Lady Wisdom talking directly to people now, but now it's almost like an aside. Almost in the chilling way that Hosea did that. That the Holy Spirit did that in Hosea. You know, those people, as God says, those people who refuse to listen, that's what begins at verse 28. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. You know, those people, those simple ones who were given all of the warnings and they refused, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Verse 29 says, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, we learn at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. These are the ones who hated knowledge. They would none of my counsel, he says it again. They despise all my reproof. Therefore, this is the consequence. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. We call this poetic justice. It's ironic because people who actually go their own way are allowed to go their own way. And the book of Romans describes this in chapter 1 in very chilling language. Going one's own way and being allowed to go one's own way are two different steps along the way. We begin to go our own way, and then finally we're allowed to go our own way. A riptide carries us away. You see, it doesn't have to be that way for the people of God. It doesn't have to be that way, and it will not be that way for those who are saved in Jesus Christ. Because there's this general statement that's given this general statement that's given in verse 33. It's given to anyone. God is speaking. He's speaking through this woman, Lady Wisdom, and he seals his comments with one final statement in verse 33. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. If you turn away, when Lady Wisdom calls, you'll be gone. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But, it's a glorious word. There's something else that's given to us. Because Jesus Christ came to save and to provide a place of security for sinners. And he in his wisdom knew that people would not by themselves follow the right way. And so he followed the way. The Lord Jesus Christ. He followed the way all the way to the cross. He followed the way on your behalf. He followed the way through being the obedient son, as we saw last time. The Lord Jesus Christ modeling the wisdom, showing us the wisdom that we need to heed. And so when he calls upon us to heed wisdom in the Gospels, we know the end of the story. We know that he heeded his own wisdom. We know that he listened. We know that he did this for us, so that there might be those who listen to wisdom. And this is a promise given. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Safety in the land. Safety with the Lord. Safety from the whirlwind. Safety from calamity. Safety from God saying, you did not listen to me. Because we are listening. And all that comes about through the work of the Spirit. You see, this call to wisdom is given. But the call is given and needs to be heard by the work of the Spirit of God. As we begin to heed the call of wisdom that's given to us in verse 23 to turn, we're given the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that we might understand the words that are given to us. And when we understand those words, we begin to listen. We begin to see something remarkable. There's a place of safety. And you see, it's not only safety from other people. It's not only safety from the devil. It's safety from ourselves. Because at the end of the day, any one of us is naive enough to walk into danger. We've seen it in our own lives. We've seen it in the lives of other people. And how could we possibly trust ourselves not to walk into danger? God gives us wisdom. Wisdom calls to us that we might turn, that we might listen, that we might hearken, as verse 33 says, in order to dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. There's a remarkable psalm that's given to us in the Psalter. And I know at least one person who says that this is her very favorite psalm. And we read this psalm and sometimes we think, well, that's an incredible thing to say. It's an incredible thing for God to say. Can that be true? The place of safety. Where is it? Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What did verse 33 say? Quiet from fear of evil. Free of terror, because you're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, because the Lord Jesus Christ is taking you in, because you're protected by Him. That's how Psalm 91 becomes true in your life. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon thee. Therefore I will deliver him. It's God speaking. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's almost like Psalm 91 is a commentary on verse 33. And you say, well, you know, how do I know that I've turned? We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that the devil, the tempter, used this very psalm to try to throw Jesus off in the wilderness? Jesus answered him. He answered him clearly. Jesus answered him, and he set him straight. The devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Are you really protected as the Son of God? Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus resisted the temptation to test God because he's trusting God to secure. And that's what he gives to you and me. The trust that we need to actually believe what verse 33 says. After all of the invitations scorned, after all the warnings, there is a place of protection. It's the place of listening. The place of listening to the wisdom of God. Hearkening unto him, dwelling safely in. Verse 33 says, whoever will listen shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Because Jesus Christ came to take on the very devil that would tempt you away from that place of security. Is there a riptide coming? Have you been warned? Have you been warned through wisdom? Have you been warned in a way that is backed up by the Spirit showing you that there's a riptide coming? Have you been hearing knowledge and failing to apply it? Is it even the case that sometimes you find yourself hating knowledge? There is a way back. It's a way carved out by Jesus Christ. It's a way of protection. His wisdom is pointing you to the path that he himself has taken. The path that he's taken for you. The path of true wisdom. Listen to the call. Dwell safely. Find protection and quiet from fear of evil. Make Psalm 91 the psalm that you believe because you are joined to Jesus Christ. That's the place to be today, my friends. Especially at this time in the history of our country and the history of the world. There's no more important place to be than under the protection of God as one who listens to Him. And this is the way of wisdom. And this is what will save you at the end.